Yeah, it's good to have you with us. Let's talk first about, I guess you call it the elephant in the room, Donald Trump. Of course, stirring things up this week with his call for blocking all Muslims from traveling to the U.S. Several Republicans have come out against Trump on this already. Where do you stand?
Well, certainly our country was founded on religious freedom. This is not what the Republican Party is all about. It's not what conservatism is all about. And we really have to be careful about, giving up individual freedoms and things as we fight the war on terror. And so, no, I'm very much opposed. And as I think most Republicans are.
Well, and these comments come on the heels of his call for registration of Muslims, as well as talk of even internment. A lot of people are comparing these proposals to what Hitler did or what the U.S. did to the Japanese Americans during World War II. Do you see that comparison?
No, I think the comparison is that people are genuinely concerned about this threat. And after Paris, you have the president, calling it a setback. The French president is calling it an act of war. ISIS was contained a few hours before that, according to the president. So the American people's hearing all this stuff, and they just don't feel like our government is serious about protecting them. The number one duty of our nation is national security. I can't do that as an individual. We can't do that as a state. The federal government is the only one that can do that. And I think people are very concerned that, that the realization hasn't been the serious threat that it has been. And so I think you find, this kind of rhetoric as a result of that.
Well, you got a situation with this this latest incident. It points out the threat of people who seem to have no direct contact to ISIL, but who are radicalized and choose to align themselves with ISIL and yet are acting independently. How do we combat an enemy like this?
Well, I think it's very, very difficult, especially, we're blessed with the freedoms that we have, and being such a society that's so open and free. I do think you have to compliment the FBI, the CIA, the various intelligence agencies, our local law enforcement, all of which have done a really good job since 9/11. We've had this incident, and it really does just show, along with the Paris attacks and so many others throughout the world, what a difficult problem this is. But I think you just have to be vigilant and just realize the threat that we're dealing with and give the resources that our law enforcement needs. On the other hand, I do think you have to be very, very careful about giving up individual liberty in an effort to respond.
Well, you reacted a bit to the president's speech a moment ago, but the president did say that we are at war with ISIL, and he called on Congress to vote to authorize the continued use of military force against the group. Will Congress do this?
I think that discussion needs to be had. As things tick up right now, the Joint Chiefs of Staff has said they have the authority that they need, to go forward. So I think it's a good discussion. We'll just have to see where it leads to.
We've had seen in the past instances where we have trained and equipped forces that later turned around and became our enemies. How can we keep that from happening with the forces we're helping now?
Well, the training and equipping has been very difficult. The Kurds have been, great allies. They're doing a great job. Mm-hmm. We have other situations, though, where we spend a lot of money, very few people trained. And then in some situations, you train them and let them loose, and the Syrians start barrel bombing them. So, that doesn't seem to be the answer. Certainly we need to support our allies that are doing a good job. But the problem is so many of these people, are in a situation that they are Muslim radicals themselves. They just have a different slant on the religious aspect. And so once they gain control, then they're a problem in themselves.
I know the U.S. House has voted to tighten restrictions on visa-free travel from certain countries with known links to terrorism. That bill has White House backing already. Where is that in the Senate now?
I think that's going to come forward fairly soon. And again, that's another thing that is so important to look at is the ability, the loopholes, in the system. And you want to have a system where people can travel. That's so important for commerce and reasons like that. But you do want to eliminate the loopholes that allow people that that we identify could be in a situation that they would do us harm. Make sure that we get rid of the loopholes and so that we can keep those kind of people out. So, no, I think the Senate will act on that fairly shortly.
I know you get a lot of business to take care of before the holiday break. You've got another short-term spending bill to give you more time to work on the long-term appropriations and get past a government shutdown deadline set for the end of this week. Tell us what's going on with these budget negotiations.
Well, people are working really hard in good faith. We've established a number as far as how much money is going to be spent. Now the question is how do you divvy that up, amongst the different things in government. And so those are the discussions that are going on, and I think we're making good progress. Along with that, there's other things that we'd like to stick in there, both sides, concerning various things. You mentioned, the visa waiver thing. I don't know if that's going to be in the appropriations or not, but there's a lot of things that are very, very important that we'd like to get consensus so we could also stick those in this bill. Having the public adequate time to actually see what's in there before we take a vote, but just trying to close out the year. This is kind of like finals or the end of the semester test that we go through in high school and college and things. And you have these deadlines and you have to meet them, and so everybody's rolling up their sleeves and working together. We can be really pleased. We got the highway bill done. We got the first, we got the No Child Left Behind reauthorization done, which people have been working on for the last decade. So I think a lot of positive things have actually happened in the last few months.
You mentioned the highway bill. Northeast Arkansas expected to finally see U.S. 63 designated as I-555.
Yes, and that's something that the entire delegation has worked on really hard, and that designation is important as you have people coming in looking to locate in a community. That's one of the first things that they look at, is there an interstate system nearby? So we were really pleased, again, everybody working together, the community, the area has been so active, and we were able to work out a situation that would have cost $30 million and just been a waste of money a problem regarding vehicles, farm vehicles. So lots of little things that all came together, and so as a result, I think it's going to be a really good thing for the area.
You also mentioned the education reform. This bill restores more control over education to states and local districts, as I understand it. How's this going to impact our education system?
Yes, sir, it does. And I think that's really important. I was on the school board for 7 years, and the closer you can get this thing, any of these things to the local population is best. The reason being is, you're in church with them at the state level. You're visiting with your state representatives and things. So getting it back much more local, letting the states decide the direction that they'd like to take, I think is a really very, very, very positive outcome. And it's the biggest hand back of power in the last 25 years from the federal government. So I think that passed in an overwhelming way, Democrats and Republicans working together to get that done. So that was also very encouraging.
Trade issues also been in the news. WTO has approved a request from Canada and Mexico for $1 billion in retaliatory tariffs on U.S. goods because of our country of origin labeling requirement on meat. The House voted previously to repeal this country of origin labeling, but it's been tougher to get repeal through the Senate. Now we have these impending tariffs on a wide range of U.S. products. You're in support of repealing this labeling requirement.
Yes, sir, and I'm glad you brought that up. These are one of these things that we don't talk enough about. We talk a lot about jobs and the economy, how important it is. If this is allowed to go through and they bring this retaliation, then this is really a job killer because it will affect a variety of different products where we simply can't, sell them like we could before. So the House is moving in that direction. Myself and several others on the Ag Committee have worked hard to get this done, and I think we will get it done. We've lost four times to the WTO concerning this issue. Met with the president, not the president, the ambassador from Mexico last week to specifically discuss this. And so it's important that we repeal it and then move on and make sure that that we're not adversely impacted by a number of different businesses with $1 billion of retaliation.
What about the argument, though, from the supporters of this labeling that says, you know, we should be able to know where our food comes from? This should be something consumers have a right to know.
No, I understand, and yet, you know, again, this is an international body that deals with that. The other side of that, Mark, is that, you know, you can plainly label that. You just can't have it, governmentally labeled. And so if somebody wants to label that on their package, they can do that. But again, it's not through the government.
Why does this labeling cause a problem for our North American neighbors?
It's just the history. When you look at, you know, this is primarily about cattle and pork and things, and when you look at as our country's evolved, cattle herds and things have gone from border to border, across borders, for century. And so it's just it's something that they feel very, very strongly about. And it gets really confusing because you'll have herds that literally, you might have a calf that's born in the United States, backgrounded in Mexico, comes back into this country. And so these are just things that have been going on for decades and decades, over a century. And so as a result, they just don't feel like it's fair. And again, four times this has gone to court, and the court has said it's not fair. So that's really the problem.
Now, comedian Jon Stewart was on Capitol Hill recently lobbying for a long-term extension of the World Trade Center health program that helps victims and emergency workers suffering from health issues resulting from the 9/11 attacks. Is there a reason why the Senate hasn't moved on this?
It's going to get done. I think the biggest thing is just finding the pay for it. You know, we've got we're going to have a $20 trillion debt soon. And so as a result of that, it's just finding, these are all good things, finding the dollars to offset it. I think there's a fair chance that this will be in the big spending bill that we're putting together right now.
Okay. Now, I know you're trying to wrap things up for the year before the holidays, and there's a lot of always discord and partisan bickering, and our nation is very divided and polarized right now. We're going into a season that's meant to celebrate peace and joy and love. Can we hope for better days ahead?
No, very much so. And this is the time of the year when we remember the birth of our Savior, and really what he stood for was peace and goodwill towards man. And so, you're right. This is a time where we need to reflect on that and do everything we can to promote that. And it's just a troubled world right now. But we always have to remember that we've been so blessed and, are part of the greatest, freest world, the freest country that the world's ever known. And, we can be pleased with that, but it's something that has come with a price, and we need to continue to step up as a nation and protect that.
All right. Senator John Bozeman, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too, and have a happy holiday season.
Thank you, sir.
Senator John Bozeman joining us here in his office in Washington. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU Jonesboro. For KASU, I'm Mark Smith.